Blog Talk Radio.
Norman Knight coming to you live right here from Bowie, Maryland. This is the home of the show. It's been here for the last year, and we have been cranking out a show a night. We're well over 100,000 listeners now. We're actually probably this evening going to go over 103,000 listeners. I'm really glad to have you with me. The topic tonight, what's it like to be a teacher? The topic is generally American education, anything you want to talk about. But what is it like to be a teacher? What is it like to be a student? What's the best way to learn? You tell me. The dial-in number is 347-945-6713. I try to run this show just like it's an un-session, if you would, or an un-show. We have no real agenda. We talk about whatever you, the callers, want to talk about. And if nobody calls in, I guess we talk about what I want to talk about. And I guess that's okay with a lot of you because you're all listening. 103,000 strong. I thank each and every one of you who's either listened live or tuned into the archive, which there is no question is the largest single way that people call into the Norm at Night Show or listen to the Norm at Night Show. But if you're out there listening, and I usually have more live listeners than call in, 347-945-6713 is the number. I got a couple of guests in the chat room, and welcome to your 9200 and 9282. We're glad to have you with us. And if you got something that you want to go out over the air, you know where the typing box is, and you just hit it. Well, education, learning. Well, I'll tell you, I went to the New York Post, or to the Washington Post, the New York Post, God help me, to the Washington Post, and sure enough, the governor of Mississippi, Phil Bryant, said on Tuesday that American educational troubles began when women began working outside the home in large numbers. Now, who believes that? 347-945-6713. Bryant supposedly was participating in a Washington Post live event ensuring that children are able to read well by the end of the third grade. There is no question about it. In order to survive in this world and thrive in this world, one has to be able to read. When Brian, according to this article in the Post, was asked how America became so mediocre, he said, "I think both parents started working, and the mom is in the workplace." Yeah, it says that Brian then recognized how controversial his remark would be and knew he'd start to get emails. Well, I'd like to get some calls on the subject right here at Norm at Night. So what do you think about what Governor Bryant said. Let's try to get some. Well, let's during a conversation about what states are doing to increase reading proficiency, the moderator of the panel, award-winning Washington Post journalist Mary Jordan, asked the three governors how America got so mediocre in regard to reading proficiency rates and educational outcomes. Bryant, of course, answered first. In his answer to the question, Markle said, "There is a lack of urgency on the part of the public that we are in a new world." Martinez said the lack of urgency was the adults' fault. Education became adult-driven and not child-driven. Wow, there's one for you. Is education adult-driven or is education child-driven? That's a really great question. I've been a teacher now for 32 years, you know, and I've been in the independent school world all of my life. And some people would say that the people that pay the bills, you know, pick the tunes the fiddler plays. I don't know. For anybody out there who needs explanation of the idioms, you know where to find me. Martinez said that 99% of the teachers in her state are rated proficient. But how can that be true? Only 70% of the students graduate from high school. I really don't think it matters whether or not somebody graduates from high school or not. What matters is, can somebody read? You know, people often poke fun at, some of them say nasty things, and I'm not going to decide whether that's true or not about the communist island of Cuba, but the fact is 100% of their population can read. Teachers out there, how many kids in your class can read? How many cannot read? Actually, let me go back. Oh, we got some more guests here. 9,200 left, but 9,759 just came in. 9,731 came in. What do you think about that statement? When mothers went in the workplace, education went to the dogs. Does that mean mothers did most of the education? Did mothers teach children how to read? I don't really remember. All I remember is C-Spot Run, and I love those books. And I learned to read, and I've been reading ever since. I can't imagine a world without reading. Yet, if you're a teacher, do the students in your class read well? If you're a student, do you know how to read? 347-945-6713. Do you like to read? Why don't you like to read? This is indeed the Norm at Night Show. 347-945-6713 is the dial-in number. Oh, I hope everybody's listening. Let's see here. I'm going back to the Washington Post. Education, they got a whole section in the Washington Post on education. There we go. Let's go to the education section of the Washington Post. See what they have to say. Oh, we're going to overhaul the D.C. public schools. Hot dog, we've been doing that for a whole long time. What about foreign students in America? What about foreign teachers in America? Let's talk about all that kind of stuff. I say, you know, every place I look on education pages, the crack by the Mississippi governor's grabbing most of the headlines. Oh, let's go see what's happening at America's most challenging high school. Oh. Okay, if you take, how do you find out if a high school is challenging? Through an index formula that's a simple ratio, the number of advanced placement, international baccalaureate, advanced international certificate of education given in each school year divided by the number of seniors who graduated that year. A ratio of one means the school had as many tests as graduates. Well, that's a pretty interesting idea. So is the okay, based on that, this is interesting. St. Anselm's Abbey is has the highest ratio. On South Dakota Avenue. Four-year graduation rate, 100%. Their index is 8.533, which means they had a ton more students taking and passing the tests. Than any other place. It went up this year. They have 22 AP courses, 10 varsity sports. That's really interesting. Their four-year graduation rate's 100%. They have 220 students. So 220 times, see if I got this math right, 8.5. is the number of tests they've taken. That is a lot of tests. The school building was built in 1942. They have no students attending special education, and 100% of their students go on to college. Oh, here's an interesting place I taught that I thought, maybe there's somewhere else. I don't know. Well, let's go back and take a look. Mr. Blondie, hey, you've logged in. Hey, Colt, glad to see you. Chris Durgan, wow, glad to see you. Why don't some of you guys give me a call at 347-945-6713. I wonder what the index is for St. Mary's. You know, I don't want to work in a school. I don't want to work in a school that tells and tests. But that seems to be the only way we know how to educate each other. I was having coffee this afternoon with the guy who left the school I worked at, and I don't know. Went to work at a school, you know, and actually left the school to work in the real world, and I got people in the audience here now, so that's really kind of cool. Mr. Blondie wants to know which school I work at. Well, I don't know. Somebody says, I also worked at a school called St. Mary's, and the class of 2008, all but one student went on to college? The really interesting question, person in the chat room, is how many of them graduated from college? Well, I got another call coming in here from Mr. Blondie, Newport Prep, Town and Country. Well, somehow you know some of my background, but yes, I did work at Newport Prep and Town and Country Day School. I sure did. I worked there for 18 wonderful years. Boy, that's a long time to work anywhere, isn't it? Yeah, and then I went out to see if the real world had anything more, and I just, you know, some people, like, remember that Easy Ride, I'm born to ride. Well, you know, I was born to teach, and I discovered that Newport was a great place, and it was a place that spoiled me, because it really wasn't a place like any other. And St. Albans, oh, Mr. Blondie, you've been reading my resume? Because after a year out in the real world, I was trying to see if I could become an internet cowboy. You better believe I went to St. Albans and I spent 7 great years there. And then I became became a crazy person. I wanted to just change the whole way that schools went. Yeah, and I went tech integrating, and it was a whole lot of fun too. Uh-oh, let's see if Mr. Blondie can come up with the next place that I floated my boat to. He's typing away there in the chat room. Hey, if you want to get in on this conversation with me, it's 347-945-6713. It's amazing how many things we learn from the people around us. And I have learned a ton of things. And one of them I've never really learned how to be patient. If you lived in downtown D.C. and you started raising a kid all over again, how would you go about educating your child? Well, you know, that's a really great question, Blondie. And I got to tell you, let's try to approach that. Well, and I'm going to do it a funny way. I don't know of anybody. I'm going to tell a story. Yeah, I tell stories. Well, anyway, I was watching this, I don't know, there's some new TV network on, I don't know, MeTV or something. It's all old shows. Well, one of the shows that I remember when I was a little kid was Daniel Boone. Fess Parker was Daniel Boone. Well, it was on the TV in the living room, and I started watching it for a while. And Daniel Boone had his son out in the woods, and he was showing him how to do things, how to live in the world that he was living in. And it made me start thinking about our schools and about our parents and about how we educate our students and our teachers. One of the really interesting things that's happened is that our parents and teachers may really not know how to survive in the world that exists out there. So I'm in downtown D.C., and yeah, Fess Parker, isn't that what I said? He was Daniel Boone, and he was a great character, but he was showing his son how to live in the woods. Well, you know, how many parents could take their kid out and show them how to live in the internet. That's a really interesting question. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we living in the internet? I got a sense called Show from the Pot. Yeah. Hey, I got a whole bunch of people in the past. I'm glad to see you, Toast. I'm very pleased to see you. We had an interesting time today. If you want to call, the number's 347-945-6713. Come on, we're almost at a halfway point. I know there's people in the chat room that have things to say. Oh, a shout out now. If you get a Skype from me, that's a shout out, because I sure do. So a small school like Newport is, I don't know if a large public school is best. The question is, what do you need to learn to survive in this world and to thrive in this world? What do you think? What do you need? I know what I think. I want to know what you think. 347-945-6713. So you go out into downtown D.C. What do you have to know to survive? I don't know. What do you think you got to know to survive? Empathy is important. Yeah, I think empathy is important. Parents usually have empathy for their kids, at least the successful ones. I shouldn't say all, but successful parents have empathy for their kids. People with successful relationships have empathy for those around them. Yeah, no question there. We'll give you that, Blondie. So, but how do you use it? You know, there's two people, Ted Sizer and his wife. I think they're actually both dead now. But they wrote a book. They're watching us. What we do is what our students learn. We're human beings. We teach by example. Uh-oh, the cult's got something here. Perhaps we go back to a very old method. Every child gets a mentor. You know, that would be a great idea, but not just a child, every human being. I have mentors. It amazes me who I learn things from. Imagine the amount of taxes we need to pay for that. I don't know. Do we need to pay for that? What if we just all teach each other stuff? Why does it always have to be paid for? Why does it always have to be in some kind of a formal program? What is the success rate of the Big Brother program? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And to be honest, I don't care. The better question is, if you're going to show someone something about living, what do you need to show them? I think you need to show them curiosity. I think you need to spark their interest. I think you have to make them wonder about what they want to know. Hey, some of you guys, we're having a great conversation in the chat room, but why don't you give me a call, 347-945-6713. I really would appreciate somebody coming on the line here and talking to me. I'm feeling a little bit, wait a minute. What should parents really teach kids that doesn't belong in school? How to read? How to write? Or does that belong in school? How to use a cell phone? How to research on the internet? Uh-oh. Now we got somebody throwing out the genetic ball, you know? The fact, there's some special human beings, and there's some special on the other end. Ah, the socialization. Why does a kid, the cult now is throwing out, links. Why does a kid have to go to school to be socialized? You know, why do we have to put them in groups according to data manufacturer? Why do we have to sit them in little desks? Why do they all have to do a prescribed curriculum? Why? Somebody call and tell me. 347-945-6713. I don't know any answers to any of these questions. But Blondie's typing again. Here we go. We got a humdinger going here in the chat room. Describe my ideal school. Well, my ideal school is the world. You know, when I want to know how to do something, I go find somebody who can do it, and they show me how to do it. My ideal school is an unschool. My link is to a study, new Big Brothers, Big Sisters outcome survey reports. Mentoring has positive effects on the whole child. Okay, let's grant that mentoring's the way to go. Let's grant that. 347-945-6713 is the way to call in. What do you mentor a child about? What do you mentor someone about? What do you advise them to do? Mentoring has a positive effect. What the heck is mentoring? Somebody tell me what it is, you know. At my school, I have to be a mentor to, God, I just got two more today. What does it mean to be a mentor? To share experience of living? Yeah, that's true. Well, generally, people confuse experience with age. I'm kind of an old guy. No question about that. And I've had plenty of experiences, some of which are relevant and many of which are no longer relevant. Yeah, I can use a cell phone. Yeah, here's a shout out. I can do the purple line. You know who you are. The person of the purple line. Hot dog. Anyway, I hope you heard that. I'll make it at another time during the show, I hope. And no question that we'll talk about the purple line again. Hey, I got a call coming in. Yes. Hey, you're on the line with Norman Knight. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Norm?
Hey.
It's Chris.
I know who it is.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Actually, somebody just, when I coach soccer, did you consider that mentoring?
I definitely did.
Because I sure shared my experiences from the soccer field with the kids that, yeah, I guess that's mentoring Blondie. What do you think, Chris?
I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, my dad coached a lot of my teams up until high school, and I guess you were my JV high school coach, so you were one of the first coaches I had that, you know, wasn't my dad. You know, but I'm fortunate to have my dad was a coach for a lot of my years. So, but yeah, I mean, you do learn a lot, you know, on a social constructed thing like a soccer team. So yeah, it's definitely a mentor situation. I've actually mentored in schools in Salisbury where I went to college. So,
So what are you doing now?
I just graduated actually 3 weeks ago. So right now I'm in my basement.
Eating Cheetos, huh?
Basically, looking for a mentor.
Hey, you know, Norm and Knight, we're here every Tuesday.
Yeah, I've listened before, so I've never called in, but.
Well, I'm glad you did. So what did you study at school?
Actually, broadcasting, so media production.
Media production. And did anybody share their experiences with you?
I never really had a mentor as far as my, you know, you have advisors, but they're not, you see them twice a year if you're lucky. As far as internships goes, I had an internship and I worked on a few Chicken Purdue commercials because that's right in Salisbury. But no, I was never really mentored. But actually for one of my communication classes, I had to go into the public schools and mentor an eighth grader. Some African-American kid named Karan. I had to spend probably, I think it was 30 hours over a whole semester, so.
Hey, Blondie says, I can mentor you now that I'm a broadcaster. Yeah, right.
You could, you know, so I'm hanging out with you.
No, I agree.
You definitely, sorry.
Here's my question. Well, this probably isn't fair, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Was it better for you to go to college and study communications or to have gone down to ABC and, you know, hired on in the mailroom?
I don't know. You know, that's a question you can't answer until you've done one or the other. I don't know. I think for what I want to do, it's good to have a degree. But, you know, Alex Bonner, who, you know, has worked every day without going to – he never graduated college. He's working to get his a broadcasting assistant director's license, which takes 600 days just of slips and timesheets and everything. You have to prove that you've done 600 days. I think he's almost at 500. But, I mean, he's got a lot of – and he gets paid to do that. So I think it's better, you know, if you're getting paid and you have a sweet gig. But not everybody can afford to, you know, just take off time. Because most people don't get paid if they're doing stuff like that. I mean, some are, but, you know, you got to start
somewhere. What about defending your own broadcaster job?
I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. But, you know, that's really hard to do because if you're not fortunate enough to have support, you know, you're not going to go anywhere. You know, I mean – it's tough.
No, I understand. Hey, if you want to join in on this conversation with the chat room and with my buddy Chris here, we go back to one of my other places. The number's 347-945-6713. When you went into your communication classes, did any teacher ever ask you what you wanted to learn? Or did they
I think the staff where I went was really good. They never asked like what you wanted to learn, but they, you know, when the first day you come in, they sit you down and ask what you want to do for a living, and they might organize you in groups, you know, with similar goals. But you know, they don't. It's not as cheesy as saying, "Hey, what do you want to do?" It's kind of like you have to follow
cheesy?
Something. Say that again.
Why is that cheesy?
I mean, in college, nobody cares what you either you do it on your own or, you know, it depends. In Salisbury, where I went, there's not a lot of loose. I'm interrupting you. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, I'd much rather have the college talk than me.
Yeah, I don't know. There's only Salisbury's program for media production isn't great. So, you know, if I were to not get into a certain class, I'd be stuck there for a whole other semester, and it's, you'd be waking up at 7 a.m. hopefully to get in the class, because there's only one or two production classes a semester that you can get that will, you know, count as credits. So I, you know, it took me a while to, I switched majors back and forth, but yeah, I mean, there's not too much to choose from as far as what you want to do, but they hook you up with internships, and WBOC is right down there. I did a little work for them. And
you did that?
Yeah, I was a production assistant, which means I basically just got coffee and looked at cameras and didn't really do too much, but, you know.
Okay. So, but a year from now, what are you going to be doing?
I'm trying to make money animating and, you know, I do a lot of Flash interactive stuff, so. Yeah, that's all taught on my own, so I never really had anybody teach me that stuff. But
well, yeah, I thought I was. That's why I was surprised when you said broadcasting. I thought you were in some kind of
yeah. Salisbury doesn't offer that. You know, I mean, they have graphic design, but you know, I took a graphic design class there, and it was so hard. The teacher there was like she worked for the government as far as graphics go, I guess, and she was, I don't know. It was a full-time, it was like a part-time job taking that one class. It was a 4-credit class. And, you know, I like to do stuff on my own, and I don't want to be, they don't bind you, but, it, you know, I didn't like that class, so I didn't want to do graphic design. And graphic design's very, it's very industry-driven. And sorry, say that again?
How many comic books you got out there?
I've got about 10 done, and probably, I've only been doing it for a year and a half. And I've probably got 10 done, and I've got like 7 out right now. I'll email one to you.
Where do you be? Good for you. Hey, yeah. Somebody else join us here, man. We only got 20 minutes left. 347-945-6713. You're all jabbing away in that chat room. I sure can see that. Come on, Blondie, call. What about? Colt, you always call. Don't stay out there on that West Coast. Colt, you can call too. Come on.
Do you know these guys personally? You know all these guys?
Huh?
You know all these guys personally, don't you?
I know quite a few of them, actually.
Fan base.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you're not working at all now?
I told my summer job I wasn't going to be back. And so, but that I work at the county camps, which start usually early July, thinking I would find a job beforehand. So, you know, as motivation, I quit. But this is a stupid move because now I need to find something part-time. At least right now, you know, I'm animating every day, and I've got about $500 just from graduation money. So that can last me 2 months.
What?
2 months if I'm lucky. Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. And, I mean, stay on with us. Come on. Hey, Blondie, I know you didn't graduate from college, but so what? Can you make a pizza?
Sounds good right now.
Let me see if that's who I think it is. Yeah, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But anyway, we're 2/3 of the way through, and we're talking about teaching and learning, and that's a real interesting thing. You studied broadcasting, but now you animate. That's really, that's very cool stuff. Uh-oh, yeah. Colt logged out. That means he might be calling in. I sure hope so. So what kind of tools do you use for your animation work?
It's all Adobe Flash, and a little bit of Photoshop. But have you ever used Flash? Because you've taught HTML stuff. It's all HTML.
We did some Flash stuff. Remember, speaking about illustrators, I can't think of her name now. She went off to the Air Force Academy.
She's not from Annapolis, is she?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
She was in I think she was in your year.
Can I say names on here?
First name, don't say last names.
Is it Becky?
Not Becky. She used to do amazing things with paint that should not have been able to be done with paint.
Mm.
What was she? Curly hair?
Was it Rachel?
I think it, yeah, yes.
Rachel
yes.
D. Yeah, yeah. She was Philip's sister, yeah.
Was amazing with paint. Yes, she was.
Yeah, she actually, that family went to my elementary school, so I've known Rachel and Phil my whole life, really. She's always been very talented. Phil, too. Phil's really smart. But, yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough to go to private and public schools, so.
Oh, wait a minute here. You know, I hear that St. Mary's in Ablish just got voted the best private school in the area. Let me just see. Uh-oh, yeah. Somebody put a link on. It just took me to all kinds of...
yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much, Blondie. We all appreciate it.
So what was St. Mary's ranked? Number one private school in Maryland?
In the Annapolis area.
Okay. I was going to say.
And I don't know.
I think a lot's changed.
All I can say is thank God for Key School so you can get a soccer win or two a year.
Man. The Obazags.
They beat us once, actually.
Yeah, maybe they were. We won a few. I mean,
we won more than we lost.
The seasons got worse is after I graduated, I'm pretty sure, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I stopped keeping up.
So we had some great, great times.
Yeah, that was great. Those were two great years. Yeah. I almost didn't graduate from St. Mary's. Did you know that?
No.
I failed trigonometry. I'm not going to say. The teacher that was teaching it. I didn't even know there was trigonometry until I got in there. And it was a teacher that was there for 1 year. I don't even know if it was a whole year, actually. It might have just been a semester. And she failed me. And I had to go up to Anne Arundel Community College every Monday night for 3 hours and take, it was very abstract. It was nature of math or something like that every week. And I was just miserable that I was in this stupid class because I had to, I don't know, but I couldn't walk if I didn't take that class. And I can't believe that St. Mary's actually really let me, looking back on it now. My parents, you know, were there, the ones that were like, you can do this because you need to do this. But I didn't know that I could fail a class in high school. You know, you don't really, looking back now, I'm like, you have to be an idiot to fail a class in high school. But I got a D, I think, and they wouldn't let me walk. So I was fortunate. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm trying to actually remember now who that teacher was. I thought it was somebody else.
No, she was there for 1 year, and she was a Gator. She was from Florida. She graduated from Florida, went to school in Berkeley. Trust me, I know her. I got her address right here if I ever get angry.
Don't say anymore.
I'm not
going to. Because her name might slip out. That would be a disaster.
No, I'm a broadcasting major.
Okay. All right.
I'm just joking. I would not do it.
She's got a couple of kids now.
Yeah. No, I know.
Hey, Colt, why don't you give us a call? 347-945-6713. Tell us about your experiences at the public high school. I can tell you about mine at the private Catholic boys school, that's for sure. I can tell you about teaching, too. I've always had a good time teaching. I've always liked it. I haven't always been real successful with my bosses, but, you know, that's life. I don't know. Maybe mentoring is the best way. Maybe finding somebody, like Yvonne Ehlert says, find somebody who knows how to do what you want to do and have them teach you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be a broadcaster? Go work at a broadcast station.
No, you're definitely right.
Pizzas? Go work at a pizzeria.
But there's a different kind of mentor, you know. There are mentors. There's a mentoring program, and then, you know, I don't know how – it's not easy to always find a, you know, a resource like that that you can just –
Actually, Blondie just said something interesting. Blondie puts forth that then you're limited to the experience of that one person. Well, what are you limited to? Go ahead, Colt, you're on.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing all right. We're having a lively discussion here.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, Colt, who taught you how to draw?
What's that again?
Who taught you how to draw?
Oh, let me think. I'd say it was mostly self-taught because it's one of those things you have to do over and over and over. But Mary Bertel was my art teacher in high school. And although she was an art teacher, but not an artist. She just loved art, you know. But she taught me how to dissect paintings. You know, I mean, you may look at Da Vinci or any of the masters from the Renaissance, and you'll only see the pictorial, the actual images of people. And you won't see the patterns and the color behind it and the way the light is and all that. And that made it work, you know. Once I knew that, I could do anything. At least I thought so.
So who taught you how to animate, Chris?
Yeah, I taught myself mostly, and I have maybe two or three books at my desk and a lot of YouTube, you know, a lot of YouTube tutorials. You can find out anything on YouTube, you know. But, I mean, I still learn every time I do it. I've only been doing it for a year and a half. But,
so you could learn anything you want on YouTube. So why do we need school?
Because they'll be looking at porn all day on YouTube.
Oh, nonsense.
I've been 13 before.
No. I just don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, you can... This is the thing. Most kids are going to... You know, when they find something they like, they pursue it. And, I mean, they pursue it till they exhaust it, and then they move on to something else. Now, do you think that's true? I think that's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's true. The question is, how do you get people to find those things?
Well, this is where the mentor comes in. I don't think you ever can eliminate the human, the contact.
I can't let this pass.
Go ahead.
We're all going to be pasty white and not know how to talk to each other if all we do is watch YouTube.
Well, here's the thing. I can go on YouTube and listen to all the conspiracy theories and think that's history. The Illuminati and, you know, the
Bilderberg group. Well, why is it any different going and reading it in a history book?
I don't think I've ever read a history book that didn't have an agenda. It's a little more overt on YouTube, you know. I mean, when the Ku Klux Klan guy gets up there, you know where he's at, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But the thing with education, and I don't think. You know, teachers are limited in the amount of involvement they have. I don't think it's so much true at the young age, but then once they're, you know, let's say 9, 10, and then up through high school, I think the involvement is quite limited at that point.
Who knows anything about, okay, that, who knows anything about Internet 2?
Internet 2?
Yeah. It's the Internet with its...
It's the hyper-Internet. It's faster.
It's the controlled Internet. It's the puke Internet. I got somebody in the chat room yapping away. You know, the Internet's too wild for learning.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The Internet should not be the tool for kids to learn. Somebody tell me why not.
I mean, people hate it on the printing press too, right?
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. I think there's a few. So how do we, I don't know. You know, there is this tradition, actually, in the old original Internet where people who knew stuff shared stuff with other people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's how you learn stuff.
The innocence of the 90s.
And you didn't know anything, you were stupid. And so you learned something so that people wouldn't think you were stupid.
Well, that wasn't the only reason. You know, if you wanted to do things on the Internet, you had to learn things.
That's right. That's exactly right. So why do you come to school and not want to learn things?
You know, I mean, in the past, right now I just copy links and stick them on the page, but in the past I had to have HTML.
Yeah.
I had to know what I was doing, at least the basics, you know. So
I've got a little HTML in my life.
Well, everybody had to pick it up back then if you really wanted to communicate. Then hot links came along, and then, that makes it a lot easier. But, you know, but, yeah, people did not have a problem showing other people how to do things. I remember that, too. I can remember, when we had bulletin boards. I remember there were like 200 of them around here, and that's how people communicated on the Internet. Now, you had AOL, which, and, you know, criticize it for whatever reason you like, but it did introduce a lot of people to the basics of the Internet, you know.
Right, but what about even before that? Oh, what was the name of that thing? It was from Sears. What was the name of it? Prodigy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were those basic systems, Prodigy, AOL, trying to think. There were a couple others, too. Oh, God.
One started with a C, and I can't remember the name of that now. The only reason I know is because I was on them all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember. Yeah,
CompuServe.
Very
much, Mr. Blondie. You came up with a big one tonight. CompuServe. Holy cow, you win the prize. So, I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know what the answer is. I was talking today with somebody. How do you, what do you do when you go into a room and say, hey, what do you want to know? And everybody says nothing.
Hmm.
What do you do?
It's up to you. Pick
if someone
a topic,
want
then
to
you
know
pick
me.
A topic if they won't. You know.
Yeah, but, I mean, one of the problems is we don't know what people want to know. We don't care what people want to know. maybe if attendance was a mandatory, we would care about what they want to come for.
Hmm. Well, here's the thing. You're in a situation, right? It's a classroom or whatever environment it is, but it's a forced situation. Everybody has to be there, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Even at these, quote, progressive schools,
Exactly. Everybody
has to be there.
Yeah, because mom and dad aren't spending $20,000 a year for nothing. They want to see something happening here, right? So let's go with this. You know, you've got to make the best of that environment.
People should want to be there, says Blondie.
Well, yes, they
should. Most people hate school. They hate it. And we don't have, and I don't, oh, I hate school because I have to go. I mean visceral. I mean like prisoners hate prison.
Well, yeah, I can remember feeling that way, certainly, especially in Kensington, good God.
All right, Blondie, why did you love going to school? Everybody says that. I love going to school. Yeah, what'd you love about it? That you had to be there every day? That you couldn't leave before 3 o'clock?
That you
had to eat lunch at a specific time? That you had to take this and that gradually? Is that what you love? Did you love all those useless exercises they gave you from work? Did you love that?
Oh, I don't know. I remember a teacher would write 5 new words on the board every week.
Yeah,
and by the end of the week, we had to know what those words meant.
Loved learning, Blondie. Of course you did. Every human being loves learning. If we didn't, we'd die. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead with your 5 words, Colt.
Oh, well, I mean, it was there. It was on the wall. You stared at these 5 words, you know. Or actually, you should put one up every day. And at the end of the week, you had to use it in a sentence and know what it meant. There was no assistance. You had to do that on your own. Get that big old dictionary out and look it up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Blondie. Everybody loves learning. Everybody loves to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because learning changes behavior.
Yeah.
It's how we get through the world. But something happens when we go to school. Something happens. I don't know what it is. Now, did it happen to me? Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I just didn't pay attention to it. I learned to be free by recognizing what constrained me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not. You can make me sit in the desk. You can make me do Latin for 4 years. You can make me do trigonometry, if you would. You can make
Not me.
You can make me go off to summer school because somebody wants to, or Monday night school because somebody wants to prove how tough they are and form somebody. Then somebody wants to prove what a good principal they are by not letting the kid go to college. Oh, it's just... Oh, God, I'm getting carried away here. All right, we got 35 seconds left. What's your last word, Colt?
Phonics work for me.
All right. Chris, what's your last word?
Oh, God. I don't know. I didn't like school until really probably a few weeks ago when I was getting out. So, I don't think you like school until you realize what you want to do. And then, you know, you start getting into more in-depth classes about what you want. And then, you know, you start enjoying it more.
Right. You start picking out things you want to do.
Yeah, like just like anybody. In high school, when you're a senior, you can take more classes you want.
Anyway, that's the end of Norm at Night. We're at the limit. We're actually in the recording now. Hey, thanks for calling in. I hope we see you next week. If you want to send some of your illustrations and or
definitely
what you call it,
animations, flash.
If you want to send some of your animations, I'll be glad to put them on the blog. It was a whole lot of fun, and we'll see you next week. This is Norm at Night saying goodbye. We'll see you, Colt.
Good night, Norm. Take care.
All right. Good night. I will. Bye-bye.
See you guys.